Now, you obviously have a little bit of a personal interest in that, given that you successfully sued the police for similar actions yourself a few years ago. Can you tell us the background behind that, briefly?
Oh, okay. Well, it was at the time that there was an APEC meeting in Christchurch in 1996, and I was a speaker at this alternative conference, and I bumped into a couple of people, one of whom I caught, who was breaking into a friend's house, one of the organisers of the conference. And then a little while later, like a few days later, after the conference ended, there was a fake bomb found in front of the Christchurch City Council offices. And in the raids that followed, well, basically they were only after two people. They were after the guy whose house was broken into and me, and they thought I lived at that guy's house. And so from that point, it was pretty clear that the people that I caught breaking in were not your ordinary old burglars, and they subsequently turned out to be SIS agents. And so Aziz, the person whose house it was, he sued the SIS for illegally breaking into his house. And I sued the police for illegally searching my home, and we both won those prosecutions. And basically the police didn't have reasonable grounds to believe that they would find what they were looking for, and that's why I won the case against them.
Now, the police yesterday have said that they were acting in the interests of public safety. Do you believe that this was the case?
I don't think that the general public of New Zealand were under any threat of imminent attack. I mean, the groups that they're talking about have been, you know, most of them have been involved in political campaigns for a considerable period of time. Most of them are groups that work on building public support. They're groups, you know, like some of the anarchist groups in Wellington and the Happy Valley groups in Christchurch are groups that that sometimes go over the edge of the law, but they do it in a public, overt kind of way, you know, and take the consequences for that, you know, chaining themselves to railway lines and those sorts of things. And, you know, the society needs people who engage in that sort of activity. And if you look back in our history, you know, the occupation of Bastion Point, the Springbok Tour, you know, even women's suffrage movement, people broke the law, and in a public way, that was part of their activity, and history judges them kindly, and I think history will judge most of these groups kindly too. And I just simply don't believe that all of a sudden they were about to completely change their approach and engage in, you know, military style attacks on the people of New Zealand. There's no history of any group, political group in New Zealand, using that level of violence to advance their political objectives.
The police did say, well, the search warrants issued were for possession of firearms. And the police did find firearms in some of the properties that they searched. So does that not then give them reasonable grounds to have conducted those searches?
Well, okay, if people are in the legal possession of firearms, then, you know, they shouldn't be, and there are laws to deal with that, and there always have been for a long, long time. And it's possible that there are people who are involved in political groups who are in possession of firearms, you know, and maybe they're in possession of drugs as well or whatever. But to make that leap to then say that you know, these groups were going to use these weapons to, you know, engage in attacks against people, that's a huge leap. I mean,
I guess we have to be careful here, though, in that the police haven't yet charged anyone under that, what's the act called, the Terrorism Suppression Act, and that the charges are purely relating to possession of firearms at this point in time.
That's right, but they have said that they're looking at it, and they've said that they've used those provisions in order to carry out the surveillance operation that's led to these arrests. And also they have had extensive new powers and new resources given to them through this new legislation. because people have been convinced that, you know, we need to organise this sort of stuff to stop Al-Qaeda attacks or something, the police, the secret parts of the police and the SIS and so on have had extensive increases in their powers and resources. And now we find what they've been using them for.
I can understand why people would want to stop the police from silencing dissenting voices. That's fair enough. The fact, I guess, that the police have been monitoring these people for over a year, they obviously have a lot of information that they're not telling us at the moment. So perhaps, I mean, could you see that there might be some reason that they can justify taking these measures that we just don't know about?
I don't think so. I think that they've, I mean, there might be. There might be, but I think that if there was, then we would probably know. We'd probably know about it right now, and I think they've put a lot of resources into the surveillance operation. Obviously, over lots of groups, probably engaged in surveillance over more groups than they've actually conducted these raids against. You know, they're in a situation where they kind of have to come up with something, and this is sort of the best that they can do.
So,
I think the longer this case goes on, my prediction is the flimsier it will look. It'll be, you know, like if you think back to the Zawi case, you know, the first publicity about the Zawi case was, look at this, we've caught this Islamic terrorist trying to sneak into our country. And after years and years, eventually, the SIS had to concede that they didn't have a case against him.
Do you think that the media may be partly responsible for blowing this out as well, then? Or do you think they're justified in covering?
No, I think so. I think the media coverage of it has been okay. You know, I mean, the police have you know, drawn this attention to it, and they've, you know, engaged in this big push, and it's legitimate for the media to cover it. And I think the media are asking, you know, the right sorts of questions, and you know, the We'll let the courts deal with, you know, the prosecutions, and I think that, you know, we're in this country, we've got a good legal system that does get to the bottom of the stuff. But then the wider question is, you know, why are the police behaving like that? And the media's role is to ask those questions, and I think they're asking those questions quite properly.
So what do you think the consequences will be for, I guess you could say, the climate of society, perhaps, if charges are laid under the Terrorism Suppression Act? What kind of effect would you think that that's going to have?
Well, I hope the effect that it will have will be that people will realise that that the sort of powers and resources that we're giving to these agencies for the Terrorism Suppression Act do have serious consequences for people, and that people will no longer be comfortable about giving those additional powers and resources to those agencies of the state. That's what I think would be a really good outcome from all of this.